Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to the Premier Group podcast. Today, I'm your host, Kevin Ryan. We have a very special episode in store this evening. I'm joined by usual guest Sean Smith from Turles Sarsfields and Stephen Cronin from Carrick Davins. Also have Damien Lawler from Kilran McDonough's and Sean O'Mara from Killadangan. The boys are going on with us now to discuss the forthcoming county final. But first, we're going to chat to Damien Lawler about his new book, which focuses on the impact of COVID on the GAA and the response. On the response of the association post-pandemic. Damien, very interesting topic.
Yeah, I hope so, Kevin. I think the most important thing is, I suppose everybody is sick of COVID. Hopefully we won't hear too much more of it. And I think maybe the main thing for me to get out here this evening is that it's probably a book on how the GAA and all the GAA people got through COVID. And there's not much misery in the book at all. It's fairly uplifting, to be honest with you, Kevin. So that's the hope, anyway.
Perfect. Do you want to just outline, I suppose, the GAA book season? I suppose we're coming into that area now where people are looking for the stocking fillers for Christmas and all this. And what might make this, you know, probably a wide-ranging appeal? As you said, the GAA touches every part of Ireland and every community in the country, and was at the forefront, I suppose, of the community response to the pandemic. Yeah. Is there any kind of things that struck you in writing the book, or how did you find it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I suppose I started off straight away with a guy from Antrim GAA who was in a 16-day coma on a ventilator fighting for his life. You go through stories like, you know, that was Niall Murphy, he's a barrister from Belfast. He spearheads Club Antrim, you know, from, you know, Darren Deason and Port Rooms, the work he's doing up there. I mentioned then a girl, a nurse called Marianne Walsh from Moonkind in Kilkenny. She works as a nurse in Waterford Regional Hospital. And she got diagnosed, unfortunately, with cancer around the start of COVID, Kevin. And, you know, she had to go through 5-6 months of chemotherapy, isolation, restrictions, lockdown. All that kept her going was playing camogie for Moonkind again. And she went training every single night, which you could, but she had energy. Even though she's getting treatment, her teammates came down to the door with gifts, presents for her, couldn't go into the house, couldn't go any further. And a few months later, she won a county championship with Runcine and got voted Kilkenny Camogie Player of the Year. And it's those sort of stories that I focused in on. And just every few chapters then, you kind of mention how the GAA and the government got us back to actually play. So it's really the human being, the human interest, the personality, community, people that have focused this book on. There's two chapters with Tipperary point of view there as well. Lochmore Castellini stories there in great detail, that's both 2020 and 2021. And then the Tipperary football story as well, where only for COVID, we wouldn't have had our best players back in the country at the same time. And look what we went on to achieve when they were all back. So delighted writing it. And I was worried all along, like, geez, people sick of hearing about COVID. Look, at it, I won't tell you a lie, I'm still nervous about it. But hopefully when people pick it up and read it and say, that's not about COVID at all, really. It's about people's resilience.
That's great stuff, Damien. The book is called After the Storm by Damien Lawler, the GAA, COVID and the Power of People. It sounds like a very good read. And maybe, as I said, people, when they're looking for something at Christmas and before that, maybe they might think of it. I'm sure it'll be in all good bookshops in Tip as well. So I suppose on to slightly more important matters now, if that suits. We have Sean O'Mara and Damien representing the two county finalist clubs here today. Lads, I'm not going to ask you for your predictions because I'm sure you're both going to back your own, as I would expect. Sean, how is the Kildangan camp shaping up there now?
Yeah, Kevin, it's been kind of an unusual season for us so far. We started off in the league, didn't hurl awfully well, but again, I suppose we were down at that time of the year, we were down a few county guys, and We didn't qualify for the league final. Then came to the North Championship and we qualified for the final and got beaten by Nina. And we're in a tough group then with J.K. Bracken's Lochmore and J.K. Bracken's Lochmore and Airoga and Carty. First game against Lochmore, lucky to draw it. And one or other two games, not convincing, but went on then to play... went on to play Tinalty Rossmore in the quarter final, then on to Drummond Inch, and now find ourselves in a final. And you'll be looking forward to next Sunday, Kevin.
Definitely battle hardened, I think, taking the route to achieve the scene. Damien, just on Kilran, I suppose it's your first final in a good few years now. How do you think that'll play up north, or what's the mood in the camp there?
Yeah, great to see Sean as well. Sean's a gentleman, I think. I suppose I grew up watching Sean play hurling, but he's not that much older than me, but I would have reported on all Sean's games with the Rovers. Class hurler and class guy as well. So we play Kildangan on Sunday. It's going to be a massive test for us, but it's been 36 years, Kevin, since we've been in a final. It's mad. Like, I was very, very lucky growing up in Kildare 1. All my heroes were around me. I used to go into the dressing room and sit down beside Eamon O'Shea after every match. My school principal was Gilbert Williams. Gilbert was playing way back in that team. And I got to see McDonough's win county finals. I got to see McDonough's win a Munster final. I got to see him win an All-Ireland final. Got to go up to Crow Park on the train with the team. Just memories you'll never, ever lose. I also got to see Kildare 1 relegated as well back in Tunisia a few years down the line, but the point I'm making is the kind of good and the bad. I've seen it over the years and just very, very proud that the boys are back in the final again. There's a couple of injury worries I know coming into Sunday to see how Jack Peters is doing, but there's a good around the place, but it's not overly hyped or anything like that either, Kevin. You know, that's just delighted to be there.
That's great. And Sean, just to kind of come back to you then with, I suppose, Kildangan, you know, we saw that dramatic late win to kind of get your county championship in 2020 versus Lochmore. Had a dip then last year, which you always see after first-time champions, you know, often see kind of not coming, but coming strong again now. Do you think that experience of 2020 will stand you and that makes you kind of firm favourites on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine Kevin will stand to them. If you look back in 2019, probably unlucky against Boroughshaleigh, and in fairness, Boroughshaleigh were full value for winning it afterwards and went on and nearly won an All-Ireland club title. 2020 then, you know, the bit of luck maybe that they didn't have against Boroughshaleigh the previous year, they had it on the day to get that goal to clinch the county final. And the fact that it was your first, I mean, it was a huge occasion for the lads, huge. And it does help. But I mean, you know, on the flip side of that is you're coming up against a Killawan team where there's huge tradition. You know, I mean, Damien has touched on it. And I was lucky enough to be around for those great Killawan teams. And if you look at the last few years, they're still knocking on the door. You know, they're there, thereabouts each year, and they're full value for being in a county final as well as Killadangan.
Absolutely. And you know, the familiar names and the county names just trip off the page when you're looking at both teams here. Sean, our own Sean from Thurles Arses, I suppose, what do you think will be the key matchups, I suppose, on Sunday?
It'll be the Killadangan forwards, like kind of mentioned there previously in the podcast, that them six forwards on paper, wherever you look at them, when they fire, you know, that's the winning of the game. And to be honest, against Drum, that proved, like Hayes, Gallagher, Mara, Flynn, they all popped in with scores, Billy and Connor as well, you know. So when they all get going, I think it's trying to hold them, to be honest, like Sean Hayes and Joe Gannon in particular. Like Drone Calfer, Kiran looks like the danger man, showed last day a bit of class about him, talk for Jerome into the county, and he served on what he's shown so far. And Willie Cleary as well popped in. So I think it'll be a shootout. Condition wise, it might be great this weekend. If it's like last Sunday, it could be a dogfight. But both teams out of hurling, I think it'll be a cracking county final by all accounts.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's a novel pairing as well. I think that'll give it that, you know, they're two teams that might be familiar with themselves, I suppose, in divisional hurling, but not so much having played each other recent years in county. Damien, to come back to there again on the Kilruan forwards, you know, you have Aaron Morgan, Drone Cal lining up maybe as centre forward on paper, at least. Seamus Hennessy would be very familiar to a lot of, I suppose, followers of Tipperary hurling, as would Cian Darcy. Do you think that's a particular strong point for Kilruan?
Yeah, like, I mean, the lads have been around for quite a while, Kevin. I think if we get maybe all of them to click at the same time, it would be fantastic. Keno Kelly and Keane Darcy kind of show flashes the last day of what they're capable of, for sure. Fez Seamus Dennis, he's come off the bench in the last couple of games. He's proven he's worked as well, although he kind of slots in on a wing-back position when he comes on. And I suppose there's no secret to it that Buggy O'Mara has come on in the last two games as well, whereas Niall has kind of now gone back in behind in a different role. So on paper, we've got really good, strong forwards. And just hopefully see, can we get a return out of all, see what the conditions will be like as well. I mean, the day of the semi-final was dreadful. I'm not sure if the first game got the worst of that. But you know, obviously saw both games, and it was hard to hurl. But even watching the Cork final yesterday, conditions will have an awful say in it if they are poor on the day. But my brother was telling me today that conditions are supposed to be okay on the day. That'll be crucial, definitely.
Thanks. And you know, Kildangan then, Sean, again, you look at that midfield of Ty Gallagher, Tom O'Mara kind of into the half forward line, Joe Gallagher, Alan Flynn at centre back. That's really the engine room with Kildangan, I suppose. And I think what might give you a bit of advantage there is your bench seems very strong, and the added benefit then of playing Premier or Intermediate hurling. You know, even if for a lot of those subs, they would have been getting good hurling throughout the summer. How much of a benefit do you think your bench will be on Sunday, and how crucial do you think that one will be in what could be a quite attritional?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to this time of the year, Kevin, it's you'd be surprised the players that can have an impact because of, you know, what you touched on there with conditions. So the guy maybe that you didn't use earlier on in the year might be the guy that could come on in a county final or a county semi-final and turn the game. And that can be on both sides. I mean, you saw Boogie getting his goal against Tumi Vara. I mean, it was the game changer. And, you know, I mean, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, that it wouldn't have been considered to bring on somebody like Boogie. But, I mean, you know, with conditions changing and with, you know, getting into this time of the year, it's you know, it's horses for courses. And, you know, it's Killadangan could find somebody next Sunday, you know, differently than they would have had previously to come in and help do a job for you.
Stephen, just to bring you in there as well, do you think that Kildangan in particular have kind of really caught fire this year yet, or do you think that they have another gear in them which could be crucial come Sunday and, you know, maybe produce their best Cum County final day?
Yeah, it seems to be a slow burner of a year with all the injuries at the start of the year, but gradually getting lads back and it's every game seems to be coming up a level, you know, getting better and better. And I've touched on this with you before there recently. last 20 years there with the work that's gone on in the club. Obviously, I don't know personally what's going on in there, but just from the outside, Kildangan now have moved themselves into a superpower of Tipperary hurling. You know, they're contenders for a county championship. You'll always hear Turles Sarsfield, Lochmore, Barnsley, but Kildangan now are right in there. They're right at the top table in the mix. And they just, from a club side alone, they just seem like the most, the best balanced team in Tipperary at the moment, you know. And look, they had a bit of a hangover last year after winning the county championship. But, you know, they're there again. They were in the county championship one or two previous to it, not that long ago. Like, was it Turles Sarsfield's? Probably gave them a bit of a hard time on the day a few years ago. Like, you know, they're forced to learn and always, like, there were no flash in the pan at that stage. They were building and getting better. And you can't talk about a Tipperary championship now without talking about Kildangan. Probably not something you would have said 20 years ago, you know. And it's just a credit to them and all involved that the work that's gone in there, that now that Kildangan have been spoken in the same breath as Turles Sarsfield and Barnsley, and, you know, and it's a fascinating final in store.
Definitely. And Sean, you know, it definitely looks like Kildangan aren't going anywhere, you know, anytime soon. And what do you put down the success in the club to over recent years?
Like, you know, I mean, people would refer to the fact that, you know, very good numbers, and numbers are important, very important. But you need to put the proper structures in place when you have those numbers. And I think Kildangan have got that right. They're very good facilities. They've got an awful lot of senior players involved in juvenile coaching. And I'd say Killer One were probably one of the first sides I saw to do that. And that was a great success, because at the end of the day, you know, these young players look up to the, you know, senior players who on Sunday, that when they go to watch their games, and to have those guys getting involved in coaching and, you know, not being directly involved as a parent is super. And as I say, it was a template, I'd say, that they picked from the likes of Killer One, who saw that, you know, that was a route to go to build numbers and to have a good, you know, body of players coming through.
Damien, just kind of maybe to give you the final word there, I suppose we might be kind of placing E as kind of slight underdogs, or maybe someone listening to the podcast now is saying that, geez, Curran have no chances. This, what's your key message to the Curran players now before they... You know, you're there saying the last word, and what first 10 minutes, first half hour of this game, what's your key message to them?
I'd be telling them I'd be proud of them, first of all, because over the last 10 years, I've been asked wherever I go around Ireland, you know, what club I'm from. I tell them where I'm from, and they say, God, you've got a right young team coming through. And, you know, that's been said for quite a lot now. And you've watched players like Seamus Hennessy and Owen Hogan grow up and, you know, become real men, and they're still at it, they're still hunting. And I know Kildangan probably unlucky not to have more county titles under their belt in recent times, but the Killer One lads have stuck at it as well. And I'd be saying to them, well, do yourselves proud, work hard and try and seize the day. You've earned the right to be here. People might have not expected you to be here, but they're a tight enough bunch as well. And, you know, I'm full of admiration for the work that Kildangan have done, the facilities, the work that's gone in off the field. They're a tight unit, they're a tight club. Our lads are a tight club too. You know, they stuck together in terms of adversity, and there's been plenty of that. And I just say to them, go out, work as hard as you possibly can. And it's a county final. I mean, it's incredible to think we're back there again after, I suppose, never going too far in my times growing up without one at some age. You know, so it's there to be seized, guys. You know, you have to go out and make sure that you don't let the day pass you by.
Absolutely. That's some wise words for Kildare. Also, I think, folks, you know, our best of luck to both, and appreciate you really coming on here to chat about the game as well. I think, you know, there's a cracking final in store as well, and, you know, I think get the sample, I think, would be the big message to see it in person as well. Hopefully the weather will hold up on Sunday, but best of luck to you both.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks very much, Sean, and regards. I'll see you Sunday, and we'll have a chat afterwards.
We'll move on now to the fake senior, our Premier Intermediate. The representatives of the winners of Ross Gray and Gartner, who will go forward to represent Tipperary in the intermediate grade at Munster level. So this is a very important game, not to mention going up to Dan Breen level. where they replaced Airoga and Akartiu after a few years kind of treading water, finally succumbed, losing to Temple Derry. This looks like another cracker of a game and be well worth getting the sample early for Ross Gray versus Gartnahu. Gartnahu conquered my own club, St. Mary's, there Saturday last week. I have to say, I thought they were very impressive. Really, you know, knew how to get their goals. Looked always a threat there. Got three goals, could have got five or six. Look, very well-balanced team. Some very dangerous players. And Ross Gray then, you know, seemed to kind of, you know, be behind for much of the game versus Burgess, but eventually surged past them in the last quarter to book their place. But I think it was 2 points in the end, but they were, you know, they were worthy winners, I think, according to a couple of the lads that were there. Stephen, just to come to you on this, you know, again, Gartnahu, our team that kind of came up from intermediate in recent years. Could they, you know, would you give them much of a chance versus perennial favourites, I suppose, for this competition, Ross Gray, or favourites from the outset of the competition?
Yeah, I'd give them a massive chance. I know they're probably hoping we write them off for the little bit of luck that we seem to be giving them every week. But I know, look, it's a final. It's, you know, the best two teams are there now, and it's a case of who responds well to the day. You know, the expectations on Ross Cray, they probably should be in the top table, if you get me, you know, the size of the town, and the playing staff. But that's not going to bother Gartnahu. They're going to go up there and they're going to be thinking, we'll throw the form book, we'll throw the favourites tags, all that kind of crap out the window, and we'll go at them. And, you know, they'll be quietly confident, and they'll want everyone to be talking about Ross Gray. And, you know, and it's going to be a cracking game, because, like, you'd be thinking there'd be a lot of pace brought to this match. You know, Gartnahu are a quick team themselves. I've played against them a couple of times now in the last few years. They're very fast up the forward line. As St. Mary's found out, you know, to themselves, and we all know Ross Gray, a very fast team, and, you know, bringing the physicality now with it. But this should be a really exciting contest, you know, and I'd probably give the tip to Ross Gray. So Gartnahu would be very happy that I did that.
Yeah, I think that if we were doing a league table of our predictions for the Premier Intermediate, we'd probably have Carrick Swan in the final, because we tipped him to win every game. And maybe Gartnahu in relegation. So it's us intellectuals.
But isn't it the beauty of the grades that, you know, like, that it's so finely balanced that, you know, you could tip one team to win the whole championship and they nearly got relegated, you know, and then there's other teams then you might not think will make a late run that would not be there, but they're easily there. Like, it's not that long ago that Gartnahu were in a relegation battle themselves, and now they're in a final two, you know, one more win away from Danbury. And, yeah,
I'd say they were in intermediate relegation 2018.
The
year after county final.
You know, and it's a credit to the work and the persistence of the players and the mentors in the club, that they're now in this position to, you know, anything happens, it's a one-off game now to get where they want to be.
Exactly, and it's hard not to see both of these teams really turning up and playing their game. Shauna Enda, you know, friend of this podcast, was raving about them after the quarter-final victory, you know, their pace and their movement over, you know, Turles Arsenal's. And I think that, you know, you half fancy Sarsfield causing a shock there in that game, but it just turned into a very tough day. Do you think Ross Gray can maybe continue that form now into the final, or maybe the Burgess result is more reflective of where they are, that it might be more of a 50-50 game?
No, like, they were kind of, maybe against Burgess, they got the slow start, or seven down, points down there, a couple minutes in, and kind of shocked and saw the score. Then you rallied a bit, got a goal, sorry, and then three down at half time. And I kind of knew then they'd enough in the tank to win it. But other years, Ross Gray, when they're six, seven down, they might have went 10 down. So this team just looks different to me. Like both these teams bet us this year. Like Gartnahu just go for goals, as you said, Kevin. They are able to get through you. You could try everything. The only way to stop us is literally pulling them down, to be honest. Like, what else can you do? And Ross Gray can score from all over the field. The wing backs poking off scores there and that. So, like, what might stand to Gartnahu, actually, they won the stadium intermediate final 2 years ago, a bit mine in the stadium. They've been in the stadium big day.
Probably the underdogs for that one as well.
Yeah, they're going to the underdogs against mine, of course. So, like, they're going in here, probably Gartnahu probably bookies wise, any know who's a favourite? Is Ross Gray probably slight, maybe? If I haven't
seen it yet. I'd probably Ross Gray bookies favourites, but I'd be having a bet on I'd be back in Gartner Hill, so they have no chance now.
Like Gartner Hill are playing a great brand of hurling, like they're two teams that, to be honest, all year on form and stuff have showed worthy form to be here. It's not like Jays have got handy draws, and I wish some lads go.
They set out their stall like they'd be killing all, I think, the first game, you know, in that derby game. And you know, I thought their form might dip, but you know, it hasn't. It's you know, if anything, they've improved from game to game, which is a hard thing to do.
Yeah, no, it should be a great game. And hopefully, as Damien saying there on, the weather on Sunday is meant to be all right as well. Hopefully, we get, because these two teams can produce absolute great hurling, to be honest, scoring power, strength. No, so trying to call it, I don't know, I couldn't call it. Maybe if adding a point to either side, it won't be a walkover for either team.
Yeah, Stephen, do you want to call it? Sean's on the fence there. Might are to the either team.
I'm going to go with Ross Gray again. I'm going to give him the nod. I think Gordon Hall, lethal. Like, I love this direct run, running straight down the gut of a team. I love it, and you know, it's a danger to any back. If Ross Gray can cut that out, find a way to stop that, and it's turned into a points game, you know, like that's where Ross Gray could have the edge. And I'm just going to give him the nod. I'll probably have Gartner Hall texting me now next week thanking me for writing him off. This is all good banter, good sport.
It's working for him so far. Give the nod to Ross Gray. As I said, we should nearly be getting a fee for a performance coach from somebody from Tipperary at this stage, because every time I think it was Rockwell said for the Tom Cusack Cup, I think the poll was 52% to Killinall.
Yeah, 48.
And Rockwell. And Rockwell said something like, shove your poll up your hole or whatever. It's not like we were tipping the lot of people at the gate or whatever. But so that's what celebrity does to you lads anyway. But yeah, I think it's going to be a very close game. But I just think that the goals for Gordon Hu, I think that they could come alive in the stadium again. They're going to hate me saying it. But I think the strength or the form of their semi-final victory is that bit stronger. And I think having a bit of experience there, club on the up, team on the up, that they'll just edge it. It'd be great to see them. You know, it'd be an emotional win for them as well if they do get there. Get up the steps and get into Dan Breen as well. Either way, with Aero coming down, I think that for next year, the O'Rean is set for another level of year. I think, you know, that there's no kind of superstars coming down with respect to Aero. You know, that they might have been kind of threatening it the last few years. So I think that it's a very level competition for next year as well.
Yeah, it's a finely balanced competition now. And, you know, that's what you want. You, like, just to touch back on Gordon Hall. If that result went against them at the start, against Kilnall, you know, the value of getting a good start in these championships now is vital, because they're so finely balanced, and they're just, you know, they're like, it just goes to show, with the tips that we've been tipping all year, like that, we're probably more wrong than right, you know, and I think that's great for Tipperary hurling.
Absolutely, and you know, to see the strength of the second teams. Before we leave this as well, Stephen, great to see Carrick Swan, the south side, stay up. I think we're all relieved there in the podcast that the South wouldn't lose another senior team / Premier Intermediate. So they dug it out against Kildangan B.
So most of your reliefs.
You'd have bonfire ready to go on, Osh.
Stay off the party line now, come on.
Never forget text message I got off you. Have you a lighter for me on
paper? I know, there's one I expected them to beat Kildangan. Look, the Swan are still a huge, huge numbers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Some huge players, they have some great players. And look to the, I, for me personally, I would have loved another crack at a chance for an old derby, but not
so
to be.
Or second, I'd say, would have solved all their. Oh,
it was Sunday morning, big time, like, you know.
One Carrico would have the gates
full
anyway.
Look, I suppose, I think in the grand, in the overall, the bigger picture of it, an old Carrico might not be the bad old thing, because I think we're both clubs and more so sport in Carrick, I think, is at a bit of a low ebb. You know, we were in a relegation semi-final, they were in a relegation final. The other codes are not doing great, and I just, there's an injection of life needed, and it could have been that. But look, it's not to be. It's our job to try and get out of this grade now and get up there. And, you know, we're already trying to get working on things. But look, they'd be delighted with the win to avoid the relegation. But they'd be hurting for how the year went after, you know, winning the South Final. It was a downhill from there, like, you know. And I suppose they'd be putting plans in place now to try and get back competing again in the county championships.
Yeah, big relief. You know, we don't know how the championship will be structured next year, I suppose, depending on Tip's involvement. I mean, will the divisions always be played ahead of the counties? I suppose they'll have to be, because you have the kind of option for the divisional winners to go up. Like, but I don't think they'll probably get that much space, hopefully, if Tip kind of get a better run next year. So, you know, how much kind of focus will teams put on divisions? I don't know. But,
some clubs, like... Some clubs don't need to focus on, you know, like putting all your eggs in the divisional basket, and then to be flat in the county championship. That's, you know, they don't need now to be focusing on a South Championship. They need to be getting out of Premier Intermediate, trying to get back senior again. I think it's okay for clubs who have relatively little success to be trying to get a divisional championship. But for anyone that's aiming to win a county, I don't think now their eyes are on the divisions at all. Like, you know, and whatever way they're struck, with a bit of luck, we're going to be tight for time next year, because that means Tipperary in the business end of the championship. But it'll be an interesting one now next year when that time comes.
With the priorities, as you said, you lock more, for instance. There's so many injuries, like, they may as well have gave a walkover in the mid-championship. They just fielded, but they never, you know, I think it was against Drum that... You know, in the divisional game at the start of the year, or the start of the campaign, that, like, you know, it wasn't their focus. Yeah, like that's where, you know, is, you know, we'd absolutely love, you know, a South final or that or whatever. But
absolutely, and same with JK Brackens, they will have celebrated that, and it'll be a huge achievement for them. You know, that'll be remembered in years and years to come. But like you said, Lochmore were trying to win a county. You know, and they just got whatever was on the team for the divisional game. It'll be the same with Turles Sarsfields. You know, these lads are trying to win a county. If they win a divisional title on the way, grand. If they don't, it's no skin off their nose. You know, like, in fairness to St. Mary's, they didn't push the panic button when they were knocked out of the South. They were unlucky in a county semi-final. You know, we were all at that game, and you're coming away from that game, and you were thinking one team was going to the semi-final and another team was going to the relegation final. You wouldn't have picked the correct teams, like.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
And I think that makes a difference now in this new championship. Like, if you're not on the ball for the county championship, it doesn't matter what's happening in the divisions.
Yep, the year be soured, absolutely. We'll move on as to junior intermediate now. This championship's a bit behind the others due to the playoff. We nearly had, I suppose, the shock of all shocks. Or going on group form anyway, with Laura needing extra time to get past Barsacane. Sean, is it a case of kind of Laura coming back into the pack a bit, or do you think they just had an off day there?
I say it's maybe it's an off day, to be honest. They've been hurling well all year, so it's for games, but and that, and by all accounts, no, still they won the game. At the end of the day, they just drove out, won by a point in the end. They probably had a better day, to be honest. I say Barsacane would have maybe rather played them on the Sunday, conditions on a Sunday compared to Saturday were. They showed on the scoring, like when we showed the scores a few minutes, Skinnerinka scored 8 points and won, you know, like, so you have to wonder. But again, the four teams are in the semi-finals, they're the four teams at top of the group, so form showed through. There's no divisional shock rank. So, like, the best four and three teams of the year in the
semi-finals. And look, yeah, I have to say with Skeheen kind of in, they didn't even field in a South semi versus Ballingarry, like, so... You know, start of the year, they really turned around, or they really had maybe their priorities right, depending on what way you look at it. Just on that, when you had conditions absolutely atrocious down in Clonmel for that, kind of ruined any chance of what would have been a close game. You know, I think it was, 1-8 to 8 points or whatever like that had finished, or
8-5 was.
8-5, sorry.
I looked at it and I thought the type action, I seen it there on Sunday. I kind of.
That was a football.
I didn't know what was going on. But like her, as you said, the conditions were awful long climbing in the sports field. It was cat. Like, as even like Monaghan were a team that was scored 16 points given a hard condition, which some say was a great day out for them as well to come over Kilsheelan. So like we're kind of dark horse and our favourites. We tipped our Bear Lauren and Monaghan.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that. I saw the second half of the Drummond Inch game versus Knocker Villa. They were always in control of that. I think Knockerville got a very late goal, maybe kind of, you know, kind of made the scoreline a bit softer than it was, like, you know, a bit made it appear more closer than it was. But again, Drummond Inch against Laura, I think, you know, that they're probably playing, you know, the best team in it. And, you know, they're good experienced teams, like Sir James Woodlock kind of on there and Shane Hassett kind of in the forwards line. But they might struggle for a bit of pace, I think, to live with Laura over 60 minutes.
Yeah, amazing. But even with their senior team knocked out, kind of just be thinking, right, you're left now, lads, go on and give Laura everything, you know, going in as underdogs. And, you know, and given conditions are bad again, like it could be.
Conditions, yeah, maybe Laura's kind of brand the hurling might suit, you know, the kind of the hot summer days and, you know, like the kind of harder ground, kind of high scoring games.
And then the second semi name is Monaghan then against Skinnerinka. So, like, I hope Monaghan is here, but that won't be. Skinnerinka come off in junior that are in the semi final, like that's consistent upward trend of form. Just that's what I want to see, like, isn't it? At the end of the day, like.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to see teams kind of going through the grades as well. You could make say the same for though they're taking their time with Gordon Hu in the Premier Intermediate. Like on that one, I think that Monaghan, you know, having kind of got over a bit of revenge on Kilsheelan, who knocked them out in the semi final last year, I think that they'll be well primed to kind of. To get to a county final this year, I kind of strongly fancy them in that. I think, you know, the score they put up in Kilsheelan and that, like, they, you know, they always look like winners in that game.
Yeah, we mentioned Monaghan there in the last pod as dark horses, and one of our lads, young lads, was coming back from injury or something in the last game. Was it Fogarty or was he injured there and came back against Kilsheelan? Fogarty or Keneally, not too sure which one. We had an injury doubt going into the game, so he'll have that game under his belt. He'll have a couple of weeks training, he'll have another game. Like they'll be quietly confident of their chances now for the remainder of the competition, and you'd fancy him to get over the semi-final, you would.
Absolutely. No, I suppose, as you know, we leave the top three tier competitions, but you know, unfortunately now once again the GAA is in the wrong end of the papers or the wrong side of the papers, and also it's, you know, it's on the national airwaves today, Monday, with, you know, an issue kind of or an alleged assault coming up at an under 9 Litz, and this time it's on our own doorstep in Thurles. So I'll ask you both, you know, is culture in the GAA a problem? How often do we say, oh, it's an isolated incident, it's not representative of, you know, what's going on in wider clubs and all this? But, you know, my own thoughts on this, without naming the kind of club involved, but it's not their first offence. It's not like as in allegedly, and it's, you know, they've been through, you know, various disciplinary kind of issues and all that, and it seems to be a cultural issue that needs to be addressed.
It's just something we don't want to hear, Kevin. I was actually up passing by Dr. Morris Saturday morning, looked in, load of kids inside, and I was like, geez, in fairness, the weather, they're hurling as well. They were out there, but they were loving it, and by mentioning that even something happened, and I saw it online then, and it's everywhere, the news, and just looks bad, like, because TPGA is at the front of it, Thurles at the front of it, the home of hurling. No, RT News this evening, the second thing on the article after the Regency murder was an assault in Thurles, like, you know, and they showed picture Dr. Morris.
There's no excuse, really.
I don't want to see this, like, you know, like, we don't know the ins and outs of it, but still, whatever happened, whether someone got, whether he touched him or what, no one knows. But like, still, this shit shouldn't just happen. Like, there's no need for it. Just, I don't know how you stop it. Like, it's too common now with players, managers, even back when the pictures, the back paper, you'd say, was it County Final Meet or somewhere, the two managers are now go at each other, and one of them knocking the ground in the foot, and the young lads in the back, and all looking at, you know, it's a great photo, but still, like,
it's David Brady, wasn't it?
Things that we shouldn't be seeing, like, just, they don't care whether, but like, this is just as low as it comes, to be honest.
Yeah, like, it should be a big thing. It's a game written out, you know, maybe over every ground or something like that. It's sport at the end of the day, you know, especially like under nines. I doubt they even keep the scores, you know, and there's no kind of competitive element. Like, you know, it's only mentors reffing them and all that. The goals are a few feet apart. So look, whatever happened there is just unforgivable.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the whole, without mentioning the name, and I said to Sean either, I don't think we should mention the club's name even next year when it comes to playing games anymore. It's just like, not removing the anger element out of it, but it's when is it going to be enough is enough? You know, like there's players getting red cards, then there's selectors getting red cards, and now there's supporters. So there's no one you can trust. You know, like, when is enough enough? When is, you know, and I know there's great people in the club, but when do they, or how, more importantly, how do they remove the badness? You know, because there's idiots in every club. I know that. But it just seems to be the same club. The idiots get to take over all the time. And it's dragging their own club through the mud, dragging Tipperary through the mud, and they're dragging the GA through the mud. And it's just, and like I can't, no matter how I try and think about it from outside the box circumstances, this is a 9-year-old kid, you know, it's a 9-year-old child. What kind of, I'm stuck for words, like, what kind of person must you be to get that angry as a 9-year-old child that you put that hand on him? You know, and this, like, before, if someone outside the county would have a go at Tipperary Club, the Tipperary colours would come on, and you'd fight in your back for him, you know, you'd argue. But there's no defending that. You know, like, I think the club now needs to come out somehow and remove this element from the club. You know, tell these people you're not welcome in this club anymore. You know, any of these kind of indiscretions, you're not welcome in these clubs anymore. Verbal assault referees, physical assault on player, like, just these lads need to be removed somehow. They need to be removed from their club first, and then eventually to be removed from the GAA.
Exactly. I do, but I agree 100% with you, Steve. I think we've reached a tipping point now. Every club does have them. Every club could do more. But, like, you know, it starts really with just not tolerating your own kind of, like, people involved with clubs abusing referees, or, like, accepting, you know, bad decisions happen and all that. I think it really starts, we just have to start changing the culture. But look, I've been guilty of my own turning into refs and all of myself. You lose the head and all that kind of stuff at times, and this would be stupid junior matches and stuff. It wouldn't be county finals or anything, like, you know. But yeah, I think if you kind of look at what's happening now, sit back and just kind of, people should be able to control themselves more kind of now.
But even put in place, like, back there club-wise, like, I've seen it over myself, like, over the years, own club, and it's something at juvenile level as well. Parents on the sideline, they're all protective. There's one or two mothers, and, like, I haven't seen around since. I say they could have got told off, to be honest. But, like, they're roaring about, and it's kind of embarrassing for everyone else as they're, like, come on, will you shut up? Like, but, like, there's a line you can't cross, and the line has been crossed, and, like, people are saying it's an isolated incident, but I guarantee you there's another half instance weekend as well that we just don't know about. Like, the match is over, something happens, grand, go home. Like, you know, it's just,
oh yeah, it just doesn't make the media.
Yeah, you know, and just hopefully just this making the media. I know it looks bad in the clubs and all that, but still, you just need to kind of put something in play. Clubs need to be responsible, members need to be listed, registered, even if around the field of who's there. I know it's a lot of police stuff, but, like, even have talks, and, you know, there has to be ways of doing this. Like, does it happen? I hate going on, oh, does that, no one sees it happen in rugby or soccer, but, like, Yeah, the odd soccer rugby game itself up in Thurles, and like, I wouldn't see it. But then again, I'm only at one in a million, so it might be that. But I'm more in the face of yeah, but something needs to be done. Like, on it, like, it's just don't want to see it.
We're at the lowest of the low now, and I think we can't go any lower, because as bad as it was when a referee was assaulted, we're now in a stage where there's a child after being a hand put on a child. That's the lowest of the low. We can't get any lower than that now. And if we don't find a way of moving away from this poison, like we could be in big trouble in future generations, because parents will look at this, whatever about verbally abusing referee, like we've all been guilty of it. I haven't myself. You know, you're training all year, and from adult level, from adult point of view, you're playing on the very edge of your emotions in hurling. It brings you there, hurling and football, because it's so fast, it's so quick. A free in your own 50, if a forward gives it away in your 50, that's a score nowadays. You know, like in soccer, you might give away a free, but you might score for an hour. You know, like, and these things, it brings everyone's emotions right to the edge. But to go overboard and put hands on a referee, or put hands on a child, or go fighting on the sideline with other mentors is, like, we're at the lowest ebb now of discipline. This now, I know there's thousands of games went on throughout Ireland over the weekend and that, but we're at the lowest now. We have to find a way to fix it. And maybe we have to start with the 6s, 7s, 8s, and 9s now, and put something in place where in 20 years' time, when they're growing men, that they'll be used to it. Like something I'm trying to think of their last few weeks was, if a referee is reffing an underage game and there's a parent being abusive, like, under 10s don't give out to a referee, you know, but the parents do. So maybe he goes over, the referee goes over to the manager and say, look, that's your man. You know who he is. You tell him to stop, because the next time he does it, we're calling off the game and the points go to the other team. Maybe we have to start like that, because that wouldn't be long about shutting fellas up on the sideline. You know, because his own son then will lose out in the game because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And we just have to find a way to, you know, like, get more respect in the game, more discipline. Look, there's always going to be handbags, I think, between players. I don't think that'll ever change. I wouldn't like to see the toughness gone out. You can be tough without crossing the line. But we've hit the lowest of the low now when there's a child involved, and something drastic action needs to be taken.
Absolutely.
On that, like, I think the GA should come out now and, like, go all out and put committees together, guidelines to clubs, how, if this happens in the future, how to be handled. I know it's a guard issue, it's different, but, like, there's nothing even in place. Like, come out with a PR statement, oh, we're investigating. Like, it looks bad. Instead of coming out going next day, we're following our guidelines, which are in place, are available on GA.ie. Every club has them. You've given a talk to all clubs. No, but, like, you need to have something. It's GA are kind of brushed aside.
It seems to be the 96-week ban seems to be the maximum that GA can do when all these things are just, you know, yeah, the talk down in Wexford
bans are no good. Yeah, no, these bans don't work, because without naming the club again, I know there was a selector band, a big band there coming, and I saw him out in the dad parked in the middle of his own team the very next game. These bans don't work. Like, you have a lad that's going to a match, then there's no one on the gate knows who he is, you know, in that regard. Like, protocol has to be put in place now where categories of indiscretions, categories like ABC, and if you hit the red mark, like if you're reporting the red mark, then you have to be looking at a full club ban or something. You know, like, that something absolutely wild have to come into place, because is the small 96-week bans or suspensions like that. That's not going to stop. Right, he might not be able to have an active role within his club, but do you think he's going to stop going to matches, roaring abuse from the sideline? Not a hope. You know, and these lads that's usually roaring abuse and being intimidating on the sideline, they're intimidating to their own club men as well, and that's why the good club men can't do anything about it.
Yeah, definitely. That's in cheerier news. Just to wrap up, Clonmel Comerchians have won their 20th senior football crown, and Tipperary has a new senior football team in Ballina. I suppose the Ballina result, very kind of resounding victory over.
And fairness, Ballina beaten us last year, and a junior was us set them off to beat a
But that's what I'm going to say. Surely no, that gives heart to all ye big hurling clubs out there, you know. But look, I was down, you know, great win for them all. I think they're a club that's doing a lot right. And Marshall's, you know, very, very good win over over Upper Church. I think, you know, Upper Church, they were kind of good, but they couldn't really score, which is the name of the game. Commercials just had that, you know, the much more kind of the forwards with pedigree there and were able to control the game once they got ahead. But lads, I just want to talk to you about, you know, the new proposals. There's two, I suppose, from the football committee. One is it'll go to reduce the football championship to 12. My own view on that, it's probably a good thing, but maybe the football clubs should be the ones driving that. The one that potentially affects all clubs in Tipperary is the split season, as in to play the full hurling championship first week after week and then play the football championship. So every team would be out of the hurling. Will that get Sean, the likes of Turles Sarsfields, the likes of Carrick Davins, maybe taking football that bit stronger? I was at the meeting for this in Clonmel a couple of weeks ago, and it was actually more the football clubs that seemed to be against it. That, you know, that they would have, you know, at least in the medium term, that they would have the big Turles Sarsfields and the Upper Churches, and well, maybe not Upper Church, they're senior anyway, but the Kildangans, the clubs that are conditioned for senior hurling, just coming down the grades and farming your junior championships for 5-10 years.
We're in the junior county final. Like, you know, a lot of the players on the team would have played maybe senior A, senior B, and now since that's over, they slotted in, like, you know, and they're trying to start taking serious enough, and with Ballingarry there the weekend, so I give them a chance in the final. But like, the problem is the football clubs don't want it, because you're going every week, week after week. There's no break. Like, commercials are on a perfect balance, week in, week on, week off. You know, like, dual clubs is affecting dual clubs. But if you go with the split thing, you're all out then for 6 weeks. You're taking a quick break or every week is, and then you're back all in again. So, like, is there a perfect answer? Maybe reducing 12, but as someone said there in Premier View, what good is knocking off 4 football teams? You could knock off 8, you could knock off 10, like, you know. Where do you draw the line on the getting to 12?
Yeah, and look at the commercial saying Mary's, like, you know, both featured at the, you know, at the kind of business end of their championships. And Ross Cray didn't, Upper Church, you know, in the final, the semi-final of both as well. So I think it can be done in the existing system.
It's all about the club if they drive behind football. You see, like, it's all about Upper Church that more. If they want to get behind it, you will, like, you know, just some clubs do better than others. Like, there's not a perfect model. Like, it's just something in tip that a lot of clubs just, it's second nature in a lot of clubs, to be honest. Like, it's just the way it is. Hurling's going to take priority, but I'd love to see something come in just to make it more accessible. Like, we're in now because the hurlers maybe gone. We've a lot of good footballers in that would have played hurling, but if we're in county final Sunday, we're probably going to knock out a junior if we score.
Exactly, you can't make lads play football. You know, yeah. Like, you can have it, you can visit it, but, like, you know, is it the right thing to be doing? I'm not so sure. I think the current system as well, for the non-dual clubs or whatever, it's perfect. You have your kind of week break, you can get down from a game and up for the next game and look after any niggles and stuff like that. And the week on week for the dual clubs, I think, you know, you still have less intensity matches, so you can manage the season a bit better.
Yeah, look, I think I couldn't imagine playing a condensed hurling season like that, like having it wrapped up in six or seven weeks. And then, look, unfortunately for the likes of myself, you know, if you don't qualify out of your group, it's wrapped up even earlier, like, you know, because it's like a group stage now is taking 6 weeks. You have the first game, 2 weeks later, you have another game, and then 2 weeks after, another game. But to wrap it up even quicker in the hope that the hurling teams will take the football more seriously, I think that's a bad logic, like, you know, because the serious teams that take hurling and football seriously, they'll do that anyway. If the new season's in place, they'll play the hurling and they play the football. But, you know, like, from the lads that are, the teams that are not fully committed to football, it's going to be the same thing again. You know, they're not going to, like, for instance, if, like, Will a top level senior team put the same resources into the football just because it's later on in the season? I don't think they will. They'll just go out and they'll kick around a few balls, and the trainings won't be as serious as the hurling training. But then on the flip side, like, you have to think of it. these football teams, the big football teams, like, you know, will they take the hurling serious early in the season? You know, the predominantly football clubs. You know, are they going to prepare the whole hurling season?
Well, you know, I would say we've only got one predominantly football club in the county, and that's my Rovers. Like, so.
Yeah, and look at the attention they paid to hurling. Yeah. You know, like, and so they're not going to use 6 weeks for hurling while getting ready for a football championship. You know, like, it's not a good idea. They might do it down in Wexford, and they might enjoy it down in Wexford. That's down in Wexford. I don't see the point in it and see the merit in it at all.
Absolutely, lads. I forgot to ask you the most important question earlier on. Two great tipsters here. Sean, who do you fancy for the big one on Sunday?
Killangan by 3 or 4.
Killangan by 3 or 4. No sitting on the fence in that one. Stephen?
The head will say Killangan, but the heart wants Killaran to win it. I enjoy watching Killaran hurling. And, you know, I'd like to see Seamus Hennessy win the big one.
And I think Kildangan just had that performance in him. I think if Kildangan can keep the back door closed, they have a chance, but maybe I'll go Kildangan 7 or 8.
That's on the dressing room wall. Jeez.
Yeah. Look, I'll do public speaking engagements, I say, by the end of this year. Motivation speaker. But right, lads, thanks a million. We'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks, lads.
Good
thanks,
luck.
Lads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.